What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful with those things. And I'm sure we'll sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice from time to time, because that's what Pat and I do. No, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times. But this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there who's struggling with anything, this is the show for you. Some housekeeping. We are still doing the Book of the Month Club. So this month we're reading Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. So get the book, read it. We are going to be going over it next week. And that episode should come out the following Monday. So get the book, consume it, and we're going to do a whole podcast about the book. And shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us caffeinated and focused with this awesome chewing gum that has caffeine, L-theanine, B vitamins. I'm a big fan of it. I chew it all day. I mean, I probably consume anywhere from 2 to 4 to 5 pieces a day. It's 40 milligrams of caffeine per piece. It's like half a cup of coffee. Keeps me going. You know, if I'm ever feeling kind of like I'm dragging ass, I'm a big caffeine consumer. So this has been a great way for me to honestly minimize my caffeine consumption, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because whereas I would normally stop and go grab like another coffee or an energy drink or something like that, and I'll just grab one piece of gum, and that usually kind of gets me to where I want to go. I chew it when I work out, when I do jujitsu. I mean, while I'm driving around, while I'm making calls, I'm a big fan of this stuff. So get some NeuroGum. Yeah. Try it out.
I chew 2 pieces when I go and play hockey at night. Well, most of our games are late at night, so it's nice to kind of get that little burst of energy there at the end of the day without overdoing it. By the time I get done with the game, I'm ready to go to bed, so it's not like it's keeping me wired like some stuff. So
yeah, that's great.
And then also want to shout out to our people over at Fit Flavors. We have a code helps get 50% off gift cards.
50% off of a gift card.
Yes.
One time use.
The code is POD50. So use that code, get your 50% off on your gift cards, and then go enjoy yourself some Fit Flavors because it is delicious. And then also our friends over at CF Achieve that we train at and work out at. We've got not this coming Saturday. Well, yeah, no, it'll be this Saturday.
Yes.
April 6th is we're bring a friend to work out. So if you're interested in joining Zach and I and getting our asses kicked, feel free to reach out and we'll bring you along with us.
Yeah, please come. So hit us up. Love to have you there and come suffer with us together with a great community.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll cheer each other on in our suffering.
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah, yes. I mean, Pat and I suffered this morning together. We're like we were two of three people in the morning class this morning. And it was a pretty shoulder intense workout, and she had a shoulder injury, so she kind of did her own thing. But so Pat and I were pretty much the only ones doing the workout today, and it was a good one.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be fun trying to pick my kids up later.
We did a shitload of wall walks, which was fun. How's everything else been going, man?
Good. Down 10 pounds in the nutrition side of things, plus getting all the workouts in, and so that's huge. We had our 8-week challenge that we did, and then signed up to continue that on for another couple months with Rachel.
Sweet.
Goal is to get down to 250, so have another 15 pounds to go.
Sweet.
It's great. Eating more than I ever did, so can't complain about that.
Right. You done an in-body scan or anything recently?
So I'm going here in a couple of days to get another one done to end the 8-week training to see where I'm at.
See where you're at after 8 weeks.
So, down in weight, a little bit in body fat percentage. And yeah, I mean, you, when I played, I think the lowest I ever was in body fat was like 12%. And I started getting like all these really nagging, weird injuries that I never had before. So for me, with baseball too, is like, I don't want to say like you don't want to be ripped, but really don't, because you want to have some of the, like a little bit of fat on there to help protect your muscles, because it's a big, heavy joint movements and stuff like that. It's not like actual physical, but when you're repeating these motions at high intensity, like having a little extra A bit of fat on there helps you protect yourself.
For sure. Like, how many pitches is an average pitcher thrown at an MLB game, for instance?
No, I mean, in today's game, 100.
About 100 like,
shit, I was reading an article about Nolan Ryan. He threw 234 pitches in a 13-inning game.
Same.
And then came back 3 days later and pitched again.
Dude.
Nolan Ryan's a goat.
Yeah.
Like, he's unreal. One of the best. He is the best pitcher to have ever played the game. No one's ever going to come close to breaking any of his records, especially mm-hmm. his strikeout record. And the stat that I saw was that somebody was going to have to strike out a minimum of 250 batters a season for 19 consecutive seasons with 35 starts in a season.
Yeah.
And the average strikeout leader is around 215. So
crazy.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's how dominant that dude was.
Crazy.
Not to mention he was just a fucking badass.
Yeah.
Like scary, scary. Like go YouTube, if you get a chance, YouTube Nolan Ryan. Like he took a line drive in the face, bleeding everywhere, got up, threw the guy out, and then continued to finish the game.
Damn.
And then baseball fans of the game know the Robin Ventura story. So Robin Ventura was a rookie. Nolan Ryan smoked his ass. And Robin Ventura was trying to be ballsy and charged him. Nolan Ryan got to him, just put the dude in the headlock, and was just wailing on this dude's face. It was great.
That's awesome.
No, Nolan Ryan was a badass. But yeah, I mean, today's game, probably 100 pitches.
100 pitches.
Yeah. Okay. Relievers. That's for starters. And then starters will have 5 days off. Relievers. When I played... And now it's a little bit once you get to Double A, they start functioning it as like a real as like playing in the big leagues, and as long as you're good to go and your arm's feeling healthy, you're up and ready to throw. So if you're hot and you're throwing well, they're gonna keep putting you out there. So you could throw back to back days, multiple pitches a day, before you're ever given a day off. But then there's also stretches where you could go weeks at a time of not throwing. Mm. So that's all. But yeah. 100 pitches, I would say, is probably the average for a starting pitcher.
No, but in regards to what you're saying about having a little bit more fat on you to like kind of protect your muscles, I've definitely felt that a little bit as far as like with jiu-jitsu, because like it's always this, like I've been doing it for, you know, 5.5 years or not, you know, or so, and I've definitely fluctuated, you know. I've been as light as like 155 pounds, and I've been as heavy as like the low to mid 180s.
Yeah.
And like, knowing like there's always pros and cons to each one. Like, yes, when I'm heavier, I feel heavier and I feel stronger, but like I'm definitely not as like light on my feet and quick, and my cardio just like goes out the window for sure. But then like when I'm lighter, I can definitely, I mean, I think finding like that happy medium, when,
right,
like kind of where I'm at now of like 170 ish, like floating between like 68 and 72 is I've kind of found as like my sweet spot where I'm like, I feel strong, but I also feel like athletic as well. So I think, you know, that's just how that kind of plays into the sports that I play. So I can totally relate to that. I definitely think once you're heavier, you might have, I've just noticed as I've gotten lighter, I feel like I tend to get hurt more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I like to stay, you know, kind of where I'm at now. It's what I found. It was kind of the best of both worlds for me. So, how's business been? You said you got a ton of people pre-approved right now.
Yeah, I got a lot of people pre-approved. It's just the, you know, lack of inventory that we've been seeing for a while. Getting them under contract is tough. So it seems that the buyers that I have been getting under contract have all been in that low 100 to 150 range.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's at that price point with everything is it's easier to get those under contract.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they're sitting for a little bit longer. They're not in the greatest of shapes, but people are getting some sweat equity and could potentially turn that into some pretty good equity for themselves.
So. Yeah, no, that's definitely the move. I have a couple buyers I'm working with right now, but I'm really listing heavy right now, which is great.
Right, that's, I mean, we need it.
Yeah, I've got.
Yeah, you were saying you got quite a few.
I think I've got 6 listings that are going to be hitting the market in the next month.
Man, didn't you just put a couple under contract too?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's been great.
Good for
you,
man.
Awesome, man. It's just a lot. You know, I've got two of my you know, two big boys that I'm excited about listing. Those are, you know, some of the higher price points that I've done, and I'm looking forward to that. That's gonna be fun, and both houses are really, really cool. We're gonna get them staged and doing the whole nine yards on them. So I'm really excited about those. Those are gonna be hitting the market. One of them will be hitting the market in 2 weeks. Actually, I got two hitting the market this coming weekend, or not this coming weekend, but the following, and then probably two more the weekend after that, and then one the following weekend, and then one probably a few weeks after that. So
nice.
Yeah, staying busy. That's for sure. Busy boy. Can't awesome. Complain.
Good for you, man.
All good stuff. So, just a lot sometimes, right. You know. But yeah. So today we kind of wanted to make this more of a kind of fatherhood focused episode. So, Pat and I pulled up a couple of articles here that we thought would be good for us to kind of chat about, and you know, you can kind of get a view into what our thoughts are on. You know, being a dad and all the struggles and all the great things that come along with that and all the struggles that come along with that. So we thought we'd just kind of go through this and give you kind of our thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a great way to lead this off is, you know, this guy just recently retired, one of the best centers to ever play the game. Probably going to go in the Hall of Fame for sure. As a center with the Philadelphia Eagles. And he's just like, listening to his podcast, listening to how he approaches life and the things, and like that documentary they did with him,
so good,
was awesome. And he's just an incredible person in my mind. But he just recently retired, and part of his, and we're talking about Jason Kelce, and he in his retirement speech gave a lot of praise to like his father and how he wants to, you know, I mean. The amount of commitment it takes to play at the level that he's played at for as long as he's done, I'm sure that's taken him away from things with his family. You know, having been a professional athlete, I wasn't a father at the time, but I know the time commitment that it took to be there, not at the highest level, but pretty damn close. And, you know, that's part of what he was talking about, was like, he's ready for that next step. And he was talking about how awesome his dad was and how his dad was always there for him. And what he's striving for to be a father. And that was what took up a big chunk of his retirement speech, which I thought was awesome. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I need to go back and listen to it because I didn't listen to it, but I did read through this article before we got started. So, yeah, I don't know. You want to read it?
Yeah. So the title of this is the Critical Importance of Fatherhood. And this was done by, the McCalver Institute, Free Market Voice of Wisconsin, where they dove in and they talked about, they went into a lot of numbers, a lot of statistics about the success rate of children that have fathers in their home versus not having fathers in their home. And I mean, the numbers are pretty crazy. You know, we also have a pamphlet from fatherhood.gov that dives into this as well that we're going to discuss here in a minute. But it's pretty staggering once you start reading through this. So like, was it approximately 18 million children in the United States? So one in every four live without a biological father, adopted father, or stepfather in their home. That's far away the highest percentage in the developed world. Just sad.
That's crazy.
That here we are in the greatest country in the world, and
25% of them.
Yeah, 25% of children don't have a father in the home. And, you know, it's just like, it makes you ask the question, like, being the greatest, you know, one of the greatest countries in the world, why is that happening? And, you know, I personally don't have an answer to it either, obviously,
but I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, everybody's situation is different, but man, that's 25% just seems like such a drastic number.
And I don't know if it's just the lack of men that we have in America taking responsibility and stepping up and being a father. You know, it's, you know, like I'm very lucky in the situation that I'm a single father. And I have a great relationship with my ex-wife, and her boyfriend is amazing, and he's done an amazing job with these boys. And I tell my kids this all the time, and how lucky they are, because essentially they have two dads.
Two dads.
Yeah. And, Dalton does a great job with the boys. And there's times where I think the kids love him more than they love me, which, you know, as a father, that can be tough.
Sure.
But I have to give him a lot of props because I'm sure it's not easy stepping into a situation like that. And he's done a great job. And the one thing that's been great for him and I is that we've had these conversations. He's reached out to me and he's like, I want to know where you're at in terms of parenting. And we dove into that. I'm like, dude, you and I are very similar in the way we go about it and the way we want, or the way we see these kids being raised. I don't want you to ever be afraid to just follow your instincts. Mm-hmm. The only thing I ask is just don't hit the kids. Like, yeah. Just don't hit them, you know, but you can scold them. You can yell at them if they're being bad, like discipline them. You know what it takes to be disciplined. You know how, you know, he knows these things. And these are just conversations that we have that I've reiterated to him, but he's done a great job at stepping in when I'm not there. And I really appreciate that.
Oh, that's awesome. It seems like you guys have such a great relationship. And I mean, I think it's a great model for anybody, you know, because obviously not every relationship works out. You know, not every marriage works out. I think it's somewhere in more than 50% of marriages these days fail. And it's, you know, they're not all gonna, you know, grow up in a, it's impossible to say that we're all going to grow up in a household with two parents, but to have the situation that you guys have where, yes, you and Melissa are not together anymore, but you guys have, it's just such a happy, it just from the outside, it seems like you guys have it just together more than anybody else I've seen a lot. I have a lot of friends with divorced parents and it just seems like you guys have a really great thing that, you know, and I don't know, cause I grew up in a household where my parents they're still together.
Yeah,
and,
mine too.
And so I don't have a ton of experience with divorce, but I did grow up with a lot of friends that their parents were divorced and it definitely was not as clean and as smooth as it appears on the outside that you guys have it.
My parents are never married and it was not clean and smooth at all.
Exactly. So,
it takes putting your ego aside. And putting the kids first. Like ultimately that was the one thing my ex-wife and I, you know, we had our issues personally between the two of us, but the one thing the two things that we never had issues with, one was working together and all that. And the other thing was co-parenting. We were always on the same page with how we wanted to raise these kids. We openly communicated that with each other. And, you know, it's just something that we've always kept at the forefront. Is these boys, like, how are we going to be able to raise these kids into great young men? And what do we need to do that? And Dalton jumped on board and he was the same way. He just fit right in with all of that. And so, we've had a lot of conversations about it and, you know, and I've told him, I'm like, dude, you're doing great. Like, I just, and that's the thing is like, they're my kids, so I've been around with them since the beginning of their lives.
Right.
He jumped in when they were a little bit older, and that's tough. And so, you know, he has done an amazing job for what he's come into. And I'm excited to see and excited for all of us to kind of grow. And I'm just really excited for my boys to be able to have both of us to kind of have multiple father figures, like,
yeah,
knowing awesome. That someone that's similar to me is there when I'm not there.
Cause I can't imagine how hard that would be if, you know, Melissa was dating someone that you didn't like.
Right.
Like, well,
Dalton, don't you fuck this up, man.
We got right? it good, bro.
Yeah. we got a good thing going here. All right.
Yeah. Cause it's just, I can imagine, like, that's gotta be so, you know, props to you for being as like open and like, just comfortable with the whole situation. Like, cause I know that would be really, really hard for a lot of people.
And it is. You know. And if the one advice I would give is, especially because, you know, I hear a lot, like everybody's like, how do you make that work? Like, that's so, like, it's amazing how many people say how strange that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's so sad. That's so sad. These are little innocent kids that they're not the reason that this right, happened.
They didn't do anything.
No. It's not their fault. And it is very sad that that's what this has come to, is that people think that because I have a good relationship with my ex-wife and her boyfriend, that that's weird.
Yeah.
That should be the norm.
It should be.
That should be the norm.
The kids first, always.
Absolutely. So like my biggest thing was like, well, how, you know, everybody's like, you don't hate her? I'm like, fuck no. Fuck no, I love her.
Well, she's, I think the way you put it is great, because then it's like, if I hate her, then I hate half my kids.
Right,
like,
exactly.
That's when you say it like that, it's like, whoa.
Right, okay. And I think that people forget that. Like, you gotta remember, you created this child that's half of you and half of your of the mother. So, like, if you're sitting here saying you hate the wife, your ex-wife or the mother of these kids, you're basically saying you hate half of your kids.
Right.
And that's fucked up.
Yeah.
That's really fucked up. No matter how bad things can get, no matter how bad things are, there's still half of each of you. Mm-hmm. And you just can't, like, I was like, I was just thinking, like, if I really didn't like her and I was really resenting her or upset with her or did not like her, yeah, I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, fuck, am I really going to fully be able to love these kids? And I love my kids 100%. Like, there's nothing like unconditional love. Like, you know, like now as a father, and you hear about all these parents that stand by their children's side that commit some heinous crimes. Mm-hmm. Fuck, I would do the same thing being a father. Like, that's my kid. Yeah, he fucked. If something happened, he fucked up, but he's still my son, mm-hmm. and I will be there for him. He could come in and cut my arm off. I'm going to ask him, you know, figure out why.
But
at the same, yeah, right. Like, dude. You know, but at the same time, like, I'm still going to love this kid. And I just wish more people had that belief, but they don't, unfortunately. So
one thing I could speak on from my perspective, coming from a house of not even separated parents, but like my parents had a very toxic relationship, and the first 3, maybe 4 years of my life were spent watching them do like a visitation battle. And especially when I would go visit my biological father, if I speak on like my dad, I usually mean like my pops, who's my stepdad. So don't get that confused. Every time I'd go visit, which I didn't want to do because it wasn't a conducively fun or positive experience for a child to be there, I would just hear him endlessly harangue on my mom. You know, he'd be like, oh, she thinks she's so powerful, this and that. It's like, dude, I'm a toddler. I'm an infant. You're just showing me that I should be vitriolic towards women in my future.
Right.
And it's like, she does all this stuff, but what did you do wrong?
Yeah, I want to hear her side of the story. And she probably, you know,
That's the thing. I mean, again, putting that ego aside, like, you know, that was the thing. We both had to sit down and fess up to where we fucked up. And that was one of the big things that helped us both move on, was realize like, hey, we're both to blame in this. And, you know, being able to own up, like Jocko Willink says it best in his book, like, as a leader, my action or non-action is always going to result in some sort of outcome, good or bad. Well, you know, my non-action as a husband, like, I was not, Melissa and I were not the great, we were not the best husband and wives to each other. We weren't the best spouses to each other. And, you know, like, shit, love languages, mm-hmm. That's a thing.
Sure.
And neither one of us spoke to each other's love language. We never, they call it filling the tank. We never filled each other's tank.
Yeah.
You know, we're both very driven and both very successful at what we do. And so we put our kids and our jobs in front of our marriage and ourselves. And we would just kind of thought like, oh yeah. So like, we both were able to fess up to that and own that. And that also helped us be able to move on. But going back to what Murph said was like, I'll never talk bad about Melissa, because if it gets back to her, one, like, why the fuck would I be talking to shit about her anyway?
Right.
But two, I don't want my kids to start developing some sort of resentment for their mother. And the same thing, I hope Melissa's not talking shit, which I don't think she is. I think,
right.
You know, I don't think she would. She's not that kind of person.
Right.
And so I know that they're not hearing it from her. I'm not going to say anything. So like, we want our kids to be able to respect both of us. Same thing with Dalton. Like, there was a time like Oliver made some smart ass remarks saying like, you're not my dad. I don't have, I'm like, oh, you little motherfucker.
Yeah. Like, ooh, buddy.
Yeah. That's not, when I'm not around. Yeah. Dalton is dad.
Dad.
Yeah. Dalton is dad. And he has got just as much authority over you as I do. And when we're together, guess what?
Yeah, double dad.
Double.
Yeah.
So
you got four eyeballs on you, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Better shape up.
Exactly. You ain't getting away with shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but, and I just hope a lot of that changes with people.
Dude, yeah, a lot of people could take a page out of everything you just said there. Because there's, like we said, fucking 60% of male marriages fail or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of those marriages have, they're, you know, there's kids involved in there. And so if people out there, you know, take some advice, I'm sure, you know, reach out to Pat. He would love to, you know,
happy to talk to anybody about that.
I think that's someone, I mean, not as close with a lot of people that have gotten divorced, but I mean, I know that you guys have seemed to do it better than anybody I've experienced. So
I appreciate that.
I really look up to you for that. And like, I think that's just a very, very impressive and like just something that you've done. That's like, wow, I'm fucking proud.
I mean, that's what fatherhood is. That's what being a man is.
Putting those kids first, man. Right. That's really what it comes down to. It's just like those kids mean everything to you. And just like my son means everything to me. And it's like, I would do anything for him. And, you know, if for some reason Gina and I were, I mean, not like we're having any problems or anything, but like if for some reason we weren't together anymore, I know that we would do whatever we could to make make everything with our children work. You know, we would figure it out for sure.
I mean, that's our communication between Melissa and I is better now than it was when we were married.
Great.
And that's, and we touched on that with our last podcast with Abby and Maddie, and Abby mentioned like their communication between her and her husband is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, if you want to have a successful marriage, communicate. If you want to have a successful divorce, communicate in a healthy way. And I think
no name calling, yelling, arguing.
Exactly. You know, we're going to have our disagreements, even as being divorced, we're still going to have our disagreements on things. But we definitely, you know, it took some time. I mean, divorce counseling and things like that, but because that was our biggest problem. We didn't know how to communicate, you know, when we sat down to decide on how, you know, where we were going. I mean, her and I sat on the couch for 10 hours and we just aired everything out. And it was the most that her and I had ever talked in our entire relationship. I think we talked more in those 10 hours than we did in the 4 or 5 years that we were together. Damn. Like that's what's crazy about it. And, you know, we aired it out. We finally communicated and I felt closer to her in that moment than I had in any part in our marriage. But at that point it was still like, we still knew that it was over. And I couldn't be happier with how, especially her and Dalton have handled things. I mean, like I said, it's not an easy thing and it takes multiple people to make it work. And they've been awesome through this. So I give them props as well.
Children without a father in the home are 45% more likely to have to repeat a grade in school, 60% more likely to be suspended or expelled, and 75% more likely to become a teenage parent. 71% of high school dropouts come from a fatherless home. So do 90% of homeless and runaway children. So do 85% of children with emotional and behavioral disorders. And tragically, 63% of the children will die by suicide. It's crazy.
I mean, we got to protect our children. Like, I couldn't imagine anything happened to my kids.
No, me. It's like the worst. And me and Gina were talking about that recently. Is like watching movies and shit now where like,
oh yeah,
bad things happen. I can't, like I used to be able, like if there's something, I mean, obviously whenever we finally had a kid and like you put yourself in their shoes more and you're like, God, I just can't. We started watching, was that movie that came out that,
about the kids, the trafficking of the kids?
Yes, we started it, we got 10 minutes in, and Gino's like, turn this off, I cannot watch it.
No, I was.
Sound of Freedom is what it is. Yep, yeah, that was what it was.
It was so hard to watch.
Yeah, I think we didn't even get 10 minutes in. We got like 5 minutes in, and Gino's like, turn this off, I can't watch it, I'm already crying.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Apparently, like, the first like 30 minutes is just like that, but then the rest of the movie is a really well just told story.
Yeah, I had to stomach through. I was going to say about an hour of it, but then it got into the behind the scenes that what is it? Our OUR is what it is that they the initiative that's going after these kids, mm-hmm. or to like to save these kids. It gets into the behind the scenes of how they go about doing it. So like I stomached through like that first hour was
tough,
fucking tough. But then afterwards, and you're like, fuck yeah, let's go, motherfuckers, you know, kill that motherfucker.
Yeah, kill us.
Get him.
Yeah, you know? For sure. I need to just go back and watch it because she was like, I don't want to watch this. So I told her, I was like, I'm going to watch it by myself.
If you can stomach it through and fight through the first, like you said, half hour to an hour, it gets really good. And then
because I've heard great things. Everybody says it's a great movie. So I need to watch it.
I think one of the things that you need to keep in mind when you watch anything that's stomach churning, like, it's a very bad comparison, but I'm just going to use it. Like in some horror movies, there's some very explicit things that happen and they can be very upsetting. And sure, it's for a dramatic effect. Someone could be abused in any given which way. I get very mad watching it because I know there's some legitimacy to these things that happen every day.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not in a committed relationship. I'm definitely not married. I have no kids. I'm very protective of the women in my life. And, you know, I know both of your kids. I'm protective of them too. It's the thing that says, like, I know that there's evil out there. Fatherlessness is evil too.
Mm-hmm.
It's, if I would have had a strong father figure that was really in my life, not just a substitute parent who I saw a weekend or every other weekend who really wasn't that invested, my life would probably look a lot different. Now, I don't want to change my life, but it's given me a foundation as a maybe someday father to say that, I look at how you two both parent. Situations are totally different, but I trust that your kids are going to grow up just fine and that they're going to know how to handle themselves. Like Zach, I know that Calvin's going to be a wrestler growing up. He's going to have grappling experience. He's going to be a fucking savage. And you've always talked about it. Like your kids have different interests, but I think it's Oliver is the one who likes to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things I want my kids to be able to do is defend themselves. Right. I want them to understand from a very young age that the world it doesn't hate you. But like, if you don't have that guidance and if you don't have that true someone to lend you their ear, lend you their voice and be that figure, take a lot of risks as a kid.
Yeah. I once heard this guy talk once. He's like, and I like this and I kind of want to take the idea. And Gina's probably not on board for it, but throw it out there anyway. She's like, a purple belt is a requirement in my house. You got to get at least a purple and you can quit. Cause by purple belt, you're at a point where, you know, you can defend yourself for sure against the average person.
Competition-wise, yeah. That's there's a fall off, but at blue belt, you're able to handle someone bigger than you who's untrained, yeah?
For sure. Yeah. No, I think he said that once. I was like, oh, I like that. That's a cool. Like, that's like, especially for like the women, dude. Cause like, dude, for a one-on-one, dude, it's so shocking to a lot of men when they go into like an MMA gym and, you know, and they roll around with a woman or something. And especially like, I mean, there's several women at our gym that are fucking badasses that like, you definitely got to watch your piece. You cannot be slipping cause they're going to fucking take advantage of it. And, you know, and I don't pity anybody that would ever try to like hurt any of these girls. But like, I know for a fact, if some sort of like altercation happened that they would probably fuck that dude up,
yeah,
you know? And it's like,
that's the thing, women out there. I mean, I encourage you to follow any professional MMA fighter, female fighter. Mm-hmm. Like Mackenzie Dern's always posting videos about her beating the shit out of dudes. Like I watch her grappling with guys and she is just working the shit out of these dudes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just like, you know, kind of got me thinking like, hey, as a lender, like sponsor something to where the female agents that I work with,
I mean, I love that, dude.
Are getting into some sort of like self-defense class.
It's like, so, dude, I mean, we could teach a class, you know, do something like that. Cause that's what's cool. Watson or, you know, with our affiliation, they do every Sunday they do a women's only at Revive twice a week. I think they do women's only classes. Cause I know that's super intimidating for women when they first come into like an MMA gym and they, you know, they don't want to roll with the guys. Right. They'd rather go to the women's only classes, which is totally understandable. You know, I totally get that. But I also think it is good for women to train with guys too, because it's like more than likely if you were to get into an altercation and like, it would probably be a man trying to hurt you more than likely if we're looking at the statistics. So, you know, having some experience, you know, defending yourself against other men in a controlled setting where you know that those guys aren't really going to try to hurt you is, I think that's good for women too. So that, you know, if an altercation would happen, you know, outside of the gym or something, that it wouldn't have been the first time that they've been attacked by a man. So they wouldn't be shocked by the strength difference, because you know, there's a big strength speed advantage there. And, you know, there's a reason that, you know, when we go to, we do CrossFit, that the women's weights are 70% of the men's weight. You know, that's like the statistics when, like, you know, when we're doing it, you know, if for the RX on the workout, it's right. if the bar is supposed to weigh 100 pounds for men, then it's supposed to be 70 pounds for women. And just because men are stronger, there's right. no denying that. So I think
people will still try.
Yeah, no, but I definitely think it's good for women to experience that too. And I definitely think I think it's a great thing for women to learn how to defend themselves.
Absolutely.
Because yeah. I think any woman learning a good triangle could be such a good, good, like, life saving, like, you know, if there was some sort of rape situation, like, that's like the fucking, you're totally open for a triangle there, and you could put that dude to sleep, break his arms, break his shoulder. You know, do a lot of things to him where you can put him in a rough spot. So I think that's a great.
And I'm sure we'll have people comment, well, why don't you just teach men not to fucking fight, harass yeah, women? Like, well, Mike,
it's been happening since the beginning of time.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, we do live in a time now where it's the most statistically, probably the most safe it's ever been. If we go back 100 years, right. I guarantee you there was a lot more physical, you know, the statistics probably aren't there, but right. there was. You know, we're living in a safer time now than we ever have,
right.
you know, whether people believe that or not, because all the shit they see on social media.
Right.
But it is, I mean, it's just more widely able to view now on social media. But I mean, we are living statistically in the safest and best time ever, really.
Right.
I mean, we don't have to worry about, you know, a foreign country running over the hills to rape and pillage the village. You right. know, like, we don't have to worry about that, really,
no.
especially not where we live.
Right. And it's also important to say, but why that is too, like, knowledge of self-defense is very important, but, I mean, we are in Missouri. Like,
yeah.
Oh, most people here are strapped.
100%, dude. Yeah. Yeah, and a jiu-jitsu is not going to work against a pistol, for sure.
Hear that.
Yeah. I can't, you know, hip escape away from a bullet. So.
Shrimp.
Yeah.
Shrimp.
Yeah, exactly. So, here, let's get into this next article here, or this next pamphlet that we were talking about. Good father. This is, you obviously talked about this one already, but good fathers respect their children's mother. You know, yeah. I think that should become, you know, you and your partner. You guys are, you know, you and your wife, you and your partner. You are co-parents with that child, so you should always respect their mother.
Absolutely.
And never make them look bad. You know, like, kind of what Murph was saying, and, you know, it's
just men in general, respect women.
Yeah,
like, just have respect for women. It's not hard.
Yeah,
it's really not.
No, it's not. Good fathers spend time with their children. Yeah, so that's, you know, something that I've had issues with, and not issues with, but I've had some times where I've caught myself like, oh man, I've been not here. I've been absent lately, for sure, more than I should be. Like, and you know, whether it's crazy with work or whatever it is, but, you know, that's definitely something to be important. Just, I mean, you just got to spend time with your kids.
Absolutely, and. Like, with the divorce and the way our custody works out, you know, it's every 2 days with me, 2 days with her, back and forth. So it's like, you know, when I have my boys, I want to make sure that I'm spending as much quality time with them as possible, doing things with them, you know, going to the zoo, going to Grant's Farm, like, planning things out for us to do together. Now, the one thing that I am a little jealous about that Melissa and Dalton get to do that I can't, at least not yet until, you know, bring someone into my life that for the kid, like, kids, you know, dating and all that stuff. And, but they get to do solo dates with the boys. So, like, Melissa will take Connor one weekend and Dalton will take Oliver, and they'll go spend one-on-one time together. And then they flip flop. Like, I don't have that luxury yet, hopefully soon. But yeah, I mean, so when I'm doing things, I'm doing it with both of them. So having to split my time with them and show each of them a certain amount of attention, that can get tough. Connor loves attention. And Oliver he's like a lone wolf. He likes to do his own thing. So Connor right now does probably get a little bit more attention than Oliver does, but I do try and make up for it and spend time with Oliver when I'm with both of them. But yeah, I mean, but like you said, I struggled with that when I was married, you know. We, you know, when I had the kids, I was still a few years into this and still building this business that I have. And, you know, I was putting a lot of time into that, which took away time from the kids. And I look back and I regret it. I mean, I really do. Like, letting things get in the way of that sucked. And I just told myself, now, this, like, you know, when I have the boys, I'm done at like 5. Yeah. Like I don't take any calls or anything after 5. But then when, the days that I don't have the boys, I'm going to work till 8, 9 o'clock at night. So it's that give and take.
Yeah.
Because I have that flexibility to do that now. And I'm able to make up those couple hours that I might not have worked on the nights that I had the boys, but nothing's going to beat playing soccer in the front yard or teaching Connor how to swing a bat or watching Oliver, shit, he might even be a fucking BMX person. Like this dude is
fearless.
Yeah, fearless. He has this three-wheeled scooter that he does these tricks on and he scares the shit. I'm like,
all the kids across the street have those.
Yeah.
Calvin's obsessed.
Yeah. He scares the shit out of me on this thing. Like he is whizzing around, flying around on this thing. But like watching him and, you know, his, like, obviously I'm not getting on one. I can show you a video. The last time I rode one, I fell on my ass. Like I posted it on social media. I tried to ride one of the boys' scooters and just went right over the handlebars. But like, he's like, Dad, let's race. And I'm like, all right. So he'll get on his scooter and I'll race with him or I'll chase him.
Yeah.
So, and you know, Connor, Oliver, like he doesn't, Connor loves baseball. Oliver, he does baseball because Connor's doing baseball, but I'm not, like I said, I'm not pushing Oliver towards baseball like Connor because like the other thing is like, I never showed Connor baseball. Connor saw it on YouTube. I was like, Dad, I want to do that. I was like, cool, let's go, buddy. I think I might know a little bit about it.
That's funny. That's hilarious. Like in his blood or something.
Right. But they both like soccer. And so like we'll go in the front yard and kick the soccer ball around and they'll both get that. They both like golf. So that's fun.
That's cool.
We'll tear up my front yard. That's fine. They each have a set. Oliver's left-handed, Connor's right-handed. So
yeah.
I'll stand at the end closest to the main road and they'll hit plastic golf balls at me and I'll chip them back to them. So we're all getting to work on our golf.
Yeah,
team.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, that's all that quality time, you know, and you know, it's always cool. Like I took him to the zoo a couple weekends ago and we had a blast and you know, I got a text that from Melissa, like, hey, the boys are just talking about how much fun they had last weekend with you at the zoo. I'm like, that's what I want.
That's it.
So it's spending as much time with them is awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Good fathers listen. You know, that's something that I'm, you know, Calvin's just starting to talk, you know, so it's, you know, and this is something that Gina was kind of explaining to me. And I guess I never really thought about it, but, you know, because he'll be 2 in like less than a month, but he's been talking for a couple, like several months, I would say probably like the last 4 or 5 months now. She's like, you got to realize that he just like knows sayings. Like he knows like some sayings. Like you can't realize that he comprehends everything that all the words that he's telling you when he says, I want the, you know, that's like the phrase that he knows for that.
Yeah.
For that. It's like, he doesn't necessarily comprehend everything that's coming out of his mouth yet. Cause he's not even 2. But he's just talking a lot for someone who's not 2. So it's like, throws me off.
Right.
So like, I'm like, buddy, I gave you what you asked for. She's like, you got to realize that she's like really good at understanding everything that he wants and like deciphering some of his like little sayings sometimes. Cause sometimes I'm like, I have no idea what he just said.
Yeah.
And she'll be like, oh, he said, da, 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 da. You know, I'm right. Like, okay. Thank God you're here. You know, like I've FaceTimed her before and be like, what is he trying to tell me?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but you know, I mean, you're right. Listening. And it's not just listening to what they're saying, but like also being observant to the way they're doing things. You know, both my boys, 4 and 5, they both communicate very well. Connor is very well spoken for a 5-year-old. Oliver is pretty good for a 4-year-old. And you know, also like, their moods, like learning, like the way they say something or, you know, and trying to break some of the stuff that they hear at school, because they'll hear some, like they'll see kids throwing tantrums and this and that. Like the thing is, like Melissa's seen it with Oliver, but I haven't really ever seen either one of them throw a tantrum, you know?
Yeah.
But giving them the freedom to express those emotions at home, giving them the freedom to be able to come and talk to me and say what they want. I kind of got in trouble for cussing. Weird. I cuss. Melissa cusses.
Sure.
But he stood up in class. I when the teacher told me I would started laughing, and she's like, "This isn't funny." I was like, "Actually, it's really fucking funny.
It's hilarious.
It is. Yeah. It's really funny.
Little kids cussing is the best.
It's awesome."
Like yesterday, I said, "God damn it!" when I dropped something, and Calvin ran around. "God damn it! God damn it! God damn!" You know,
I'm pretty sure my first words were shit.
Well, so Connor stood up there after story time. And was like, "What the fuck is this?"
Oh, he's from St. Louis. Yeah, that's a St. Louis kid.
What the fuck is this? Must not have been a very good story, but.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, the teacher, but that was like my comment when the teacher told me what he said. I was like, oh, it must have been a shitty story.
Yeah. What were you reading? Yeah.
Yeah. But Connor started tearing up and he started getting really upset. And she goes, "This isn't the first time." I'm like, "Well, this is the first time that it's happened that I've been told of." Well, someone must have told your ex-wife. So I was like, "All right, well, I'll call Melissa." And so I call Melissa, and the first, she dropped a couple of F-bombs while we're talking. I'm like, "Melissa, hey, the kids are in the car. That's what I'm calling you about." And she said, "What happened?" I said, "Well, Connor," and I told Connor, I said, "Listen, we tell them that they're adult words. Mm-hmm. They're not bad words because we don't want them to, you know, but they're adult words. And so when you're an adult, sure, you can say those because I say them, Melissa says them. Like, yeah, we watch our,
I don't think the move right. is to make them like feared upon or illegal. It's just like, all right, right, these are words we don't say at school. These are words we don't say at other people's houses. Like, but, or, you know, they're not bad words. They're just,
they're adult words.
They're adult words.
Don't say it in front of grandma.
Yeah.
When you're an adult, you can use those words, but as a child, you're not using those words. Right. And so I told, you know, I had that conversation with Connor as I was getting him in the car, and I said, "Listen, this is the first time I'm hearing about this. So I'm going to talk to your mom. Now, this is something that she's been told a couple times. You're getting soap in the mouth." And he did it. He's gotten soap in the mouth one time in his life. I made the mistake. I thought I was buying
the liquid or bar.
Well, bar. So listen to this. So I got on Amazon, and I bought a box of soap thinking I was getting normal size soap. No. They send me 100 pieces of like hotel sized bars of soap, which is like, it's like perfect for little kids. But at the same time, the first time I did it and I forgot why, I think he was cussing. He said a cuss word. I said, "Connor, you say it again, you're in trouble." He said it again. I said, "All right, let's go to your room." And I said, "If you say it again, you're getting soap in the mouth." And he said it as he was walking to his room. I was like, oh, buddy,
you're getting it. I was going to hold it over your head one more time, but nope. No, now
so,
you're getting it.
Yeah, now you're getting it. So I put soap in his mouth, and it's so small and thin that when I put it in there, he bit down on it.
Yeah.
And he started chewing it. So he is like scarred for life from soap. Like,
yeah, that's what I did. I remember taking a bite out of it as a kid. I got a bite out of it was a yellow Dial. It was like that yellow, you know, I remember that. It was like the thick bar too.
Yeah, but this was that little tiny one. So it all broke up into chunks and was just stuck in his, I felt so bad for him. It stuck in his teeth.
Poor buddy.
Yeah, but he is so scarred.
Yeah,
scarred from that.
I don't say bad words anymore. I don't say adult words. No.
So so that's the thing. As I said, if this is true, you're gonna get soap in your mouth. And so I called Melissa, and she was like, "No, I've never heard of it." And he was crying in the back. And as soon as she said no, he was like, "Okay, Dad, can we go outside and play?"
Yeah. Ooh, I'm off.
It was like so relieved. But I mean, that's the thing. Is like, talking to them and listening to them, and I'm like, buddy, and having those conversations are very important. So
100%, dude. Next one, good father show affection. Definitely, I've never had any issues with that. That's right. That's an easy one, man. Yeah. Like, I'm not afraid to. I mean, I grew up in a household where my dad is very affectionate, and he's a big, you know, lovable hugger, kisser. You know, like he's, you know, I was never shown any. I was shown a lot of affection as a kid, for sure.
See, and that's the opposite of mine. Like, my parents, like they would give us hugs, but I don't like ever remember like them showering us with affection. Mm-hmm. And that was fine. But I think that put something in me like, hey, I'm all like every night hugs and kisses before bed.
Always,
You know, telling them how much I love them, things like that. They'll never go without hearing that from me.
Yeah.
So. I mean, shit, my love language is words of affirmation. So that's just another way of showing affection to them is
letting them know.
Yeah.
Now this one I think could, you know, obviously I think it's important. So the next one is good fathers support their children financially, which I think is, I think it could be a great thing, but I think you could definitely overdo this in my opinion and really like,
Well, what it says here is if you don't live with your children, be sure to pay child support regularly and on time, which, yeah, yes.
For sure.
I mean, it depends on that one. Like, if you're you know, living paycheck to paycheck and that's tough, like, you try.
Sure.
But, you know.
I was thinking more on the other end of the spectrum where where a kid grows up and you know,
there's a certain, right. There's a certain thing like with that where they become spoiled brats, but like in a divorce situation, absolutely make sure that you are, if it's not paying child support, you're splitting everything equally. Like that's how Melissa and I have things set up is, you know, I'm not paying her child support, but everything that comes to the kids, they're never going to not have what they need. What they want, that's a different story, but what they need. So her and I have, you know, that's part of the divorce decree, no child support, but we split everything 50-50. You know, and if there's times where she can't cover it, then I will. If there's times that I can't cover it, she will. Like there's, it just, it's again, the communication between the father and the mother to make sure everybody's on the same page. Do your best to make sure that you're covering at least 50% of what you need to do for your child.
Yeah, next one, you know, fathers are great teachers, fathers are good role models, fathers read to their children, good fathers discipline with love.
Yeah, that one, I feel like there's, you know, do it out of love.
Yeah.
You know.
Sure.
So, because there's times, you know, you got to be a little bit more assertive.
Right.
Than just, like, I saw a funny video. I think it was, was it John Crist is the comedian? Is that what his name is? There's a comedian out there. But it was like parenting today versus parenting years ago. And it was like polar opposites. Like, oh, I'm trying to be loving but supportive, but also mean and fierce, but can't hurt their feelings and blah, blah, blah. And then the old school was like, fuck you, kid. You're gonna blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, there's a happy medium. Like,
sure.
There's a good mix of both. So, you know, you got to do it out of love, but it doesn't mean it has to be coddling to the feelings and like obviously you want to support at a young age their feelings, but at the same time you got to be disciplinary, you got to be able to show a little tough love,
got to be tough and gentle at the same time.
Yeah, you know, and like it's a fine line to walk.
That's a, you know, there's that line that I really, it's like a, oh that's right, you know, it's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. You know, it's kind of that whole same thing here. It's like, yes, you want to be tough, but be gentle. You want to figure out the, you know, you don't want to be just a hard ass all the time, but you also don't want to be a softie either and let them walk all over you. It's like finding that happy medium. And
I never want them to be afraid of me because that's going to keep them from being able to come and talk to me. Like I always want them to know that they can come and talk to me. Like I always tell them like if you come and you tell me the truth on something, if you do something, sure, I might get upset about it, but I'm not going to go off the rails on you. But if I find out after you don't tell me, that's going to be a different story.
Yeah, that was my dad's, one of my dad's, right. one of my dad's rules growing up that I definitely want to kind of implement and steal from him. He's like, tell me the truth. You know, I promise I'm, you know, I might be upset or I might be a little, you know, upset with you, but trust me, I'm not going to be nearly as upset as I would be, or you're not going to be nearly in as much trouble as you would be if you lie to me.
Right.
You know, so that was, honesty was the best principle.
Right. And lying goes with, you know, it's just omitting the truth, like just not telling, you know, that's a form of them covering up. So be open and honest. And that's what I'm teaching them. Like the Connor got hurt at school. He's got a little bruise on his cheek and he started telling me some crazy story. I'm like, Connor, what happened? Like, you're not going to get in trouble. I'm not, you know, just what happened? And he finally told me and I'm like, okay. And so like, we'll talk to the school about it and everything's gonna be okay. You're not in trouble. Kid's not in trouble. It's an accident. You guys were playing around and something, you hit your face on something. It happened.
Yeah.
You're not in trouble. But I don't know. Like, he just thought that he was going to get in trouble. I'm like, buddy, you're not going to get in trouble. Just tell me what happened. Are you lying to me about it? That's when, you know, it helps develop that level of trust between you and the kids.
Yeah.
I think this next one's good. Fathers keep their cool.
Yeah.
That has been probably my biggest learning experience as a father.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause you just got to remember they don't know any better. And if you're just going to sit there and get upset, yell, and scream like that, all you're going to do is scare them from like wanting to take chances in other things in life. And I don't want that. Like, I want them to be able to take chances, and it may be wrong and it may wind up with something great. Like Oliver, he is terrible at drinking out of a regular cup. He is clumsy and he spills every time. There's always water spilt somewhere in my house because, but at the same time, like, I don't want to scare him from
drinking
learning
cup,
out, yeah. drink out of a cup. I don't want him drinking out of a sippy cup the rest of his life. I mean, I guess we do have Stanleys nowadays. Everybody's still walking around with sippy cups, but still, you know, yeah. But at the same time, it's like, you know, he's not always going to have like something like that. So yeah. I don't want to scare him. Like, buddy, hey, that's, be careful.
Slower.
Yeah, slow down a little bit. So,
good fathers are involved at school. You know, that's something I haven't had any experience with yet, but, you know, I definitely plan on being involved.
Yeah, it's just right now at that age, like where they're at now, it's just being there for, at their, like, student teacher or parent teacher conferences mm-hmm. and taking.
Just being involved.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
See, so. Or, you know, I shouldn't say easy, but that is something that can do for sure.
Right.
Good fathers work hard to make their marriage last.
So obviously my thoughts on this are a little different.
Sure. Of course. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm in a great, healthy, happy marriage. So I'm going to do everything I can to keep that together.
So I wasn't. Yeah. And so my thoughts and Melissa's thoughts on this were, is it better for them to be together and see us fighting all the time? Is that what we want them to learn? Or do we want them to see both of us move on, treat each other with respect? So not only now they're getting to see their mom and I have a very healthy relationship, way healthier than it was when we were married. But now they're getting to see my ex-wife happy with her boyfriend and what that relationship looks like. And then, you know, when I'm dating somebody right now and, you know, she hasn't met the kids, but when that happens, they're going to get to see that relationship. So my kids are going to be lucky. They're going to get to see three different relationships at once. And that's so, you know, obviously, yeah, if you can make a marriage last and you work hard to make your marriage last and you're working hard for your marriage, oh, yeah, go for it. But at the same time, if your marriage isn't working, be a good father or mother to realize that this being in a toxic relationship isn't what's going to be best for your kids because they're not going to, that's not what you want them to learn. But then also on the flip side, when you do end things, work on developing a relationship as co-parents to where they can understand and can have that respect that we've talked about a few times for their mother,
right.
Whether you're with her or you're not. So,
yeah. All right, guys. Well, I think this is a good spot for us to end it. Reminder to check out some Neuro Gum if you haven't tried it yet. It's a great chewing gum that has 40 milligrams of caffeine, L-theanine, and B vitamins. Keeps you energized and focused. I like it when I work out, like when I'm driving around, when I'm working. Check it out. And shout out to our friends at Fit Flavors. They have given us a discount code for gift cards. So use the code POD50 for 50% off of gift cards. And it's good for a one-time use. So if you
through
want.
Through May.
Yeah, through May. And you can, you know, it's good for a one-time purchase. So you might as well buy a big old gift card and you get half of that off, and then you can go use it at any of their 6 area locations, or they do deliver as well.
Yes, and then also, you know, if you guys want to come get your ass kicked with Zach and I on April 6th, let us know. Drop a comment on our YouTube page or any of our social medias, and we'll get you set up to come with us and run through a workout with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And like always, if you haven't hit that subscribe button yet, hit that for me, hit that like button, leave us a comment, tell your friends, and we will see you guys on Thursday.